Friends, I would invite you to prepare your hearts as we prepare for worship. Water in the desert flows from the rock of our salvation. The living water of Christ is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Friends, would you please stand for the call to worship?
Worship the Lord and sing God's praises. We come into the Lord's presence with songs of thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise for the rock of our salvation. We rejoice in our time together. Drink of Christ's living water. We thirst for God's love. Let us please join together in our opening prayer printed in your bulletin. Holy One, We yearn to draw near as we arrive in this place. We come to claim our hearts, soothe our fears, and deepen our faith. As the Samaritan woman before us, help us draw cool water from the well of your love, and help us live with living water of belief through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us join together in singing hymn number 108, God Has Spoken by the Prophets, verses 1 through 3 in your black Methodist hardback hymnal.
May be seated. Would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that you have loved us, that your heart has beat for us even before the beginning of time. God, we give you thanks for reunions with old friends and parishioners. God, we give you thanks for anniversaries. We give you thanks for the remission of cancer. God, be with us today. Help us hear your words. Help us hear each other. Help us know that no matter what we are going through, that you are with us and that all will be well. God, we've lifted up our prayers to you. May you hear them, even the ones that are quiet within us. Lord, be with us that we might feel that presence, that we might know that hope, and that we might continue to be your people as you are our God. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. And so with the confidence of the children of God, I invite you to pray with us the prayer that Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. If there are kids, why don't you come on up?
Good morning, everyone. Alrighty, I'm going to make you guys move around again today. I'm sorry. All right, so we're all going to stand up. Okay, we're going to play a game. Sorry, everyone, but I'm going to turn my back to you. Alrighty, so you guys are going to follow and do exactly what I do, and you're going to say exactly what I say. When I say stop, the game is over, and you are no longer doing that. Okay? Alrighty. We are, kind of. Yeah, it's like follow the leader. Alrighty, so you're going to lift up your foot. There's 26 bones in a human foot. Yeah. I know. There's 27 bones in my hand. All right, you ready? You guys got to follow really closely for this one. There's 206 bones from my head to my toes. All right, good job, everyone. You can stop now. I'm going to sit down next to you again.
I want to sit by
you. Okay. And not that small, my friends. All right. I know I've moved. It's okay. You want to switch over here? Cool. Alrighty. Friends, how many bones are in your foot? 26. Good job. How many bones are in your hand?
27.
How many bones are from your head to your toes?
206.
Good job. You guys are pretty smart. So, what we learned here today is that when you follow people and do exactly what they do, you tend to learn things, don't you? Sometimes, what we learned here is pretty cool. I think science is cool. But sometimes you can learn things that are bad. Sometimes you can learn things that are good. Exactly. Do you guys think that when we follow Jesus, we're learning good things?
Yeah.
That's a great assumption. Yes, we are learning great things. What are some things that Jesus teaches us when we follow him?
How to be kind.
How to be kind. That's perfect. What's
be
one
happy.
More? And how to be happy. Yes. How to love one another, that's perfect. How to listen to God, this is great. So we learn how to be kind, how to love one another, how to be happy, how to listen to God, how to be respectful, yes. We're going to learn some stuff from our Bible verse today of people following Jesus and learning all of those things that you just said.
Yeah.
Is that pretty cool?
Yeah.
How to follow. Yes. All right, should we pray?
Yes.
Cool. Hey, God.
Hey, God.
Thank you so much.
For sending Jesus.
So I can follow him. And learn all of the great things. That he teaches us.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's go.
Our service will continue with our scripture reading, which comes to us today from the book of Acts, starting in the 15th chapter, verses 36 through 41. Hear these words. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Come, let us return and visit the brothers and sisters in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take with them John, who was called Mark. But Paul decided not to take with them one who had deserted them in Pamplona and had not accompanied them in their work. The disagreement became so sharp that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and set out, the brothers and sisters commending him to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Sicily and strengthening the churches. And this is the word of God for the people of God.
Friends, we have a moment where we remember that God is good, that all is well, all will be well, and that the grace of Christ walks with us. In a moment, the ushers are going to come down with the offering plates. Thank you to everyone who gives online via EFT or of your time or your prayers or your talents. We know that it takes a lot of effort to run a community, to walk with each other, and to guide each other. So we want to give you thanks for all of that. But as we take a moment, listen to our reflection, we invite you to ponder on the ways that God is calling each of us to be faithful today and tomorrow and throughout our lives. Thank you. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you have blessed us with these things. Lord, through your grace and your love and your kindness, may we be a blessing to others. Lord, what we have received, may we give. May our hearts be open. May we be grateful and generous. And Lord, if we need to be formed in those ways more, may it be so. God, we give you thanks and we give you praise. And all the people said, amen. Friends, continue standing and join us in our next hymn, which can be found in your thin black hymnals on 2,222. Or up on the screens, we'll be singing verses 1 through 4 and finishing with 6. Friends, our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. This is the gospel, according to John. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal money that was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The good news of Jesus Christ. And all the people said, amen. Now, I warned my wife this morning that our family would end up in this time of reflection, and she didn't say no,
So, friends, can you pray for me? Can you pray for the conversation on the way home? All right. How many of you have ever had a discussion with your spouse? And I use that term very, very intentionally. Not an argument, not a knockdown drag out, but a discussion, just a conversation. Anyone else had one of those? Now there was, and there probably still is, but and it'd probably just be a thing that is ongoing throughout our marriage, but there's sometimes a discussion about the kitchen and how the kitchen should be arranged and how things should be put in it. Now you have to understand, my wife is great, she does the lion's share of the cooking, and I am grateful for it. You also have to understand, her family grew up very differently from my family. Her mom did most of the cooking, and she cooked home-cooked meals, right? And they were delicious, and they are still delicious to this day. Both my parents worked, and so do you know what happened? I'd be lucky if I got tomato soup and grilled cheese at night. Amen? Amen. They were busy. We didn't cook a lot, and so our kitchen looked and functioned very differently than Sarah's family's kitchen. And what's fascinating is when you get married, some of you probably have known this for decades, when you get married, what you have to figure out is how to work together. Now, what's interesting is over time, I've learned this lesson. The person who's using the kitchen the most gets to decide how the kitchen looks. Say that with me. The person who's using the kitchen the most gets to decide how the kitchen looks. But what's happened over time is I've started to cook a little bit more. A Saturday here or there, getting my own food on occasion. When Sarah's busy or tired, I'll say, well, okay, I'll get the kids. I can't promise anything more than chicken nuggets, but we'll make sure they're not whining for more food. Amen? Amen. And what's been interesting over time is that sometimes we have disagreements about how the kitchen should look. Probably the most recent one has been, how do we dry the big pots and pans? Now, I always grew up where you would take the pots and the pans and you'd get a towel from the laundry room and you'd lay it out on the counter and you'd put them on the counter and you'd stack them on the side and you'd let them air dry. Sarah's family kind of did that to some degree, but I've also known that when I lived with a group of guys, there was one of my roommates who insisted that you would take a tea towel and every pot and pan you would dry and then put it nice and neatly back in the cupboard. And then you would take the next pot or pan and dry that again. And so what would have just been, how many minutes? 2 minutes stacking on this towel all of a sudden was a 20-minute process of getting everything clean. How many of that flies with you? Not me. I just want to stack them there. I've got other things to do. I've got to get done. However, the conversation Sarah and I had is, where does the towel go? On the left side, or I guess it's, for this it'd be you, right? On the left side of the sink or on the right side of the sink? How many of you have voted for the left side of the sink? How many of you vote for the right side of the sink? How many of you thinking this conversation does not matter one lick? Right. What's fascinating about this, though, is it's an image of what we do every single day with people whom we love and people whom we walk with. What's the point of drying the dishes? The dishes need to get dry. Does it matter how the dishes are dried? Sometimes, yes, but what's the most important thing in the world? That they're dry. Friends, would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, help us listen to one another. Help us listen to your words. Lord, may you speak through each of us that we might know wisdom. Amen. Amen. It's such a small example, isn't it? And it honestly really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. But this is something that we have to figure out throughout life, is how do we walk with each other? How do we continue to be in community? How do we find a way to continue to be called the people of God? See, back in the 1700s, there was this dude named John Wesley. Anyone heard of John before? John's my man. John's my favorite. Well, John's not my favorite. I like Chuck. I like Charles much better. But I really appreciate John. But John had this story where once upon a time, he was walking with one of his compatriots. Now, this person didn't necessarily know who John was. Continued walking on and talking about all the ways that the church could be better, all the ways that the church was falling apart, all the things and all the people that were working their best to try and tear it apart. And then all of a sudden he said, and you know that guy John Wesley? John's walking alongside of him going, mm-hmm, I do. He says, well, these are all the things that John is doing to ruin the church, and so on and so on and so on and so on. And they keep going, and John keeps listening, and eventually John says, you know who I am, don't you? The guy gets red in the face and says, well, now I do, and these are all the ways that I'm going to continue to tell you how you're wrong and everything that you're doing is just awful and evil and terrible, and you're ruining life. John then took it upon himself to remind the person why he believed the things that he did, and as soon as they got to their destination, this person who was so adamant about being right hightailed it off in the next direction. But it's one of the stories where I think we get one of John's famous quotes. If we cannot think alike, can we love alike? I want you to sit with that one. If we cannot think alike, can we love alike? These past couple weeks, we've been talking about unity. We've talked about how God desires it, how Christ has prayed for it, how it's a good thing, and we need each other. We've also explored a little bit of how we are blessed by each other, how our different perspectives, our different gifts, is a benefit to our community, and that each of us looks different, and that probably is a good thing. But now we need to talk about some of the limitations of this as we wrestle with what happens when we butt heads. Has anyone ever been in a disagreement before? Oh, good, at least one person in the group, right? This is life, isn't it? This is absolutely a part of life. And to figure out how to live with each other and walk with each other is no small feat. In fact, it's probably what the church, it's probably one of the church's callings. But that quote from John, if we cannot think alike, can we love alike? I want to pull that apart a little bit because I think sometimes it's a nice, wonderful, comfortable thing to say, and we don't necessarily understand where the limits are or what that means when we get down into the weeds and get our hands dirty. In our gospel reading today, Mary poured perfume over Jesus' feet. Poured perfume over Jesus' feet, and man, it really got on Judas Iscariot's bad side. Now, I like Judas. Don't get me wrong. I don't need to defend him, but I hope we are kind to Judas. But Judas speaks up and says, this should have been given to who? Who should this have been given to? The poor, right? Now, if Judas took a little bit off the top, who's to complain about that one? But Judas says, this should have been given to the poor. Friends, do not commit financial malfeasance. Amen? Okay. Judas says, give this to the poor. It'd be much better served there. And Jesus says, no, 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 no. This was good. This was pure. This was holy. This was something that needed to happen. This was the important bit. And as I read this story, another one's called to my mind. The one where Jesus is talking to religious folk again. And he goes on and he says one of those wonderful things. You brood of vipers. Amen? Say it with me. You brood of vipers. You brood of vipers. Unfortunately for me, whenever Jesus says things like that, do you know what I have to do? I have to take that mirror and I have to turn it in and reflect on myself. Jesus goes on to say something along the lines of, you will move heaven and earth to make a convert. You will give the exact measure of tithing for your specific spices. You will find every single thing you can do except the most important bits. Except for the most important bits of the law. In many ways, I think this is what John is getting at. John had made a distinction saying, if we cannot think alike, can we at least love alike? If we can't agree on the particulars, can our practice, can our hearts at least be in sync with one another? A good and a beautiful sentiment. Especially since when Jesus is asked by a lawyer what the two greatest commandments are, what does he say? Love God with everything you have, all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind. And what's the second one? Love your neighbor as yourself. See, this is what Jesus is talking about in many ways, is that these are the essentials. These are the things that matter. These are the moments, these are the rules, these are the laws that undergird everything that we believe. What's fascinating, though, is that sometimes we lose sight of that. Sometimes we lose sight of that. In John's day, do you know what the big to-do was about? Do you know what the big conversation, discussion, argument was? Whether or not the people should go to the Church of England or go to one of those other churches. You know, a Presbyterian church or a Baptist church or a Congregational church. That was the deal. That's what everyone got so riled up about, is how do we group together and how do we govern ourselves? Now, you got to understand, it was a little different back then. The church and the state were intertwined, not necessarily like it is in this country. But the big argument was, do we go to a Church of England, or do we go to one of those free churches, those Congregationalist churches? Friends, what do you think? What's the answer to that one? Does it matter? 300 years later, does it matter? See, this is the context that Wesley quote came from. If we cannot think alike, can we love alike? He was talking in many ways about what does it mean to gather together and what is the right way to do it? Because people were getting tied in knots about it. Wesley said, that might be an important question, but it is not the most important question here. How do we love each other like God loves us? And how do we help people know that God loves them too? Can we love alike? Now, friends, I'm going to be the first one to admit that's an easy example, isn't it? That's an easy example to point to and say, we've jumped the shark, we've missed the point, we've gotten completely off base, let's return back to what Christ is calling us to. I want to give a little bit harder of an example. Is that okay? Is that okay? Okay. All right. Back in the 1800s, I'm terrible with dates, friends, but back in the 1800s, there was a conversation in America. Do you remember what it was? Some of you history buffs, some of you people who like war history are nodding your heads because you know exactly what I'm getting to. We fought a war back in the 1800s. Do you know what it was over? It was over slavery, wasn't it? It was over the question of whether or not that was something that we could do, whether or not that was good or moral or right. Now, what's fascinating about John Wesley's quote is this. Well, if we cannot think alike, can we at least love alike? When applied to an issue like slavery, what happens? Sometimes what happens is that it gets shoved under the rug. Sometimes what happens is that people live beside each other and turn a blind eye. Sometimes what happens, though, is that people say, no, we can't continue to do this. There is a fundamental difference. This is not good, it is not holy, it is not just. Now, what's fascinating in our own tradition in Methodism is that back at that time, what we decided is that we could not live with each other, north and south, because we were all over the country at this point. The Methodist Church split in two. And what's fascinating is it was along some of those lines that you see when you look at the North and the South during the Civil War. The South became the Methodist Episcopal Church South, and the North became just the Methodist Episcopal Church. And it took another 70 years or so for us to finally come back together and be called the Methodist Church. What's fascinating, though, as I look through that lens of our tradition, asking myself, what is the limit of living together? Where are the lines that need to be drawn? What is the answer to this difficult question? Because I'm going to be completely honest with you, friends. My default is that I think we can live together. And not even just in the church, but in society at large. This is not just a church question, friends. Our communities, our state, and our nation is grappling with this idea too. Is it possible to live in a society with people who have completely different views than mine? This isn't a new problem, is it? And yet it's one that comes up over and over and over again. And the question returns to us is, can we live with each other? Is it possible, if we can't think alike, can we at least love alike? Bless you. Friends, I wonder aloud, what are the essential parts of who we are? When our bishop first came and was getting introduced to some of the clergy and some of the churches around the state, she asked us about a statement we had, which is basically saying, we believe that we can live together. We do. It's a vision, it's not law, but it's what we aspire to in our conference. We believe we can live together. And she asked a beautiful question, and it made us all, myself included, squirm in our seats. She said, that's a beautiful vision. I love it. How do you do that? Amen? I know, right? How do we do that? Friends, I think it goes back to what Jesus had said to the religious folk, to what Jesus said to Judas, to what Jesus says to all of us. What are the important parts of the law? What are the important parts of the law? Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I'm going to be the first one to admit that looks different sometimes, or we have different ideas about what that looks like. And I think that's okay. I really do believe that's okay. But what I've also learned is that we need to have the graciousness to walk with one another and to talk with each other and to truly listen to each other, because sometimes that is so incredibly hard to do. Like I mentioned last Sunday, I have been blessed by some of my colleagues who you might describe as progressive because they help challenge me to love people more like Christ loves people. And I have been blessed by some of my colleagues that might be described as conservative or traditional because they challenge me to love Christ even more. And what I know is I've been blessed by everyone. I don't have any easy answers for you today. That's not what this sermon is about. But I have some hopes, and I have some dreams, and I have some encouragements. I do think we can walk together. And I do think we can focus on the essentials and the mission, which is loving God with everything we have and loving our neighbors with everything we have. Which is to make disciples of Christ so that the world might be transformed. I think we saw it happen during COVID, didn't we? Remember, this conversation started way back in 2019. And then COVID hit. And what did we do? What did we do? All of a sudden, we had to focus on something that was before us, that was important. We said, there is an essential thing. And right now, this is what it is. Now, don't misunderstand me. Sometimes not talking about an issue just makes it worse. Amen? Amen. But what I've also known is that the strength of our relationships, the love that we have between one another, the trust and the faithfulness that we grow within ourselves throughout our lives, that is stuff that will help us overcome any obstacle so that we can love God with all our being, we can love our neighbors as Christ loves our neighbors, and we can make disciples and transform the world. I know I'm repeating myself, but that's very intentional because these are the basics of who we are as Methodists, United Methodists, as EUB, as people who have come together and said, we are called to love. Again, don't get me wrong. There's a larger conversation on what that actually looks like. But what I've seen is this. I've seen it with deciding whether or not the plates are dried on the left side or the right side of the kitchen sink. I've seen it in trying to figure out where we're going to eat at night. I've seen it even in conversations with others where we're saying the same thing, we're just saying it differently. Friends, we can walk together. It just takes an extra measure of grace. And I think it's something that God will and does provide. Friends, what are the two greatest laws that everything else hinges upon? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. If we can get those two right, I think we're going down a good path. Amen. Amen. Friends, would you pray with me? Almighty God, we know that these conversations are not easy. We know that our hearts are full of many, many emotions, many hopes, many dreams, many fears. But Lord, even in the midst of disagreement, help us walk with each other. Help us walk with each other so that we can find your truth. Lord, help us walk with humility, all of us. Help us walk with humility. Help us walk with grace. Help us walk with peace. Help us be a people who listens to your word. Help us be a people who see you in the midst of all things. God, we give you thanks that we can walk with each other. So may it be so. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Friends, I invite you to stand as you're comfortable and sing with us. I don't usually give commentary to songs, but I think I might with this one. Friends, you're able to sing this with whatever spirit you desire, but I will be singing it as an ideal and as a hope that it might be true. Friends, I invite you to join us in singing our next hymn on page 2223 in your thin black hymnal or up on the screen.
Friends, this next bit is very, very important because this is such a heavy topic and because we've been doing our benediction a little bit differently. I encourage each and every one of us to turn to our neighbor and say these words: God loves you. All is well. All will be well. Go ahead and do that now. Friends, I hope you go today knowing that the love of the Lord follows you. My love follows you as well, and the love of each other follows you. May the Spirit of God make us one. May God help us see what that path looks like, and may we know that all will be well. Amen. Amen. Friends, go in peace, serve the Lord, but today, rest. Our service has ended.